Yeah, if you'll get the truth of this word,
tak I sannheten av dette ordet,
you would never be hesitant to reach out and ask.
Så vil du aldrig være usikker på det også, og ta skrittet ut og spørre.
Most of us don't really understand how much he really does love us.
Så mange av oss forstår ikke, får ikke tak I hvor mye han virkelig elsker oss.
How much favor we have with him.
Hvor mye favor vi har med han.
And the fact is, even as this song states,
og faktumet akkurat som denne sangen sier,
there's not anything he wouldn't do for you.
Det ingenting han ikke vil gjøre for deg.
He's actually already proved that in giving his own son for us.
Han allerede bevist det ved å gi sin egen sønn for oss.
But sometimes we still don't get it.
Men så mange ganger så får vi ikke, vi skjønner det ikke.
You know, we understand how much he loves his son.
Vi forstår hvor mye han elsker sin sønn.
And we think we understand that he loves us because of what his son did.
Og vi tror at vi forstår at han elsker oss på grunn av det som sønnen gjorde for oss.
Because that sacrifice reconciled us back to the Father.
For det offeret, det gjorde oss I rett stand med Faderen.
But we can't understand that he loves us exactly the same way that he loves his own son.
Men vi forstår ikke at han elsker oss akkurat på samme måte som han elsker sin egen sønn.
Because we see it from a human point of view.
Fordi at vi ser det fra et menneskelig perspektiv.
We think, oh yeah, well I know he really loves Jesus. He loves his son completely.
Ja, vi kan si at ja, vi vet at han virkelig elsker Jesus. Han elsker han fullkomment.
And he loves us because we've accepted that sacrifice.
Og fordi at vi har akseptert det offeret, så elsker han oss.
But surely he really loves Jesus more than he loves us.
Men han elsker jo Jesus litt mer enn det han elsker oss.
You know, it's with the exact same passion.
Men det akkurat med den samme lidenskapen.
The same relentless, reckless love.
Den samme helt utrolige, fantastiske kjærligheten.
The same exact, the way he loves Jesus.
Akkurat sånn som han elsker Jesus.
The intensity.
Den samme intensiteten.
It's exactly the same way he loves us.
På akkurat samme måte elsker han oss.
And if we really believe that.
Og hvis vi virkelig tror det.
We would be some of the boldest people on the planet.
Så ville vi vært noen av de mest frimodige menneskene på denne planeten.
Because we are absolutely a favorite of the king.
Fordi at vi kongens favoritter.
So with that backdrop.
Så med det bakteppet.
We want to share a couple of thoughts with you this morning.
Så vil vi så dele noen tanker med dere nå I dag.
And challenge you.
Og så vil vi så utfordre dere.
To be more than who you are right now.
Til å være mer enn det dere akkurat nå.
To not just accept your norm as normal.
Til ikke bare akseptere din norm som normal.
But to recognize there's a lot more that he has for you.
Men å gjenkjenne at mye mer han har for deg.
And that you have for him.
Og som du har til han.
And one another.
Og hverandre.
Amen.
Amen.
One of the things that we have such a passion for,
en av de tingene som vi har en lidenskap for,
is for the church to be as beautiful as God's always designed us to be, for us to live in that beauty.
For at menigheten skal være så vakker som Gud designet oss til å være, og at vi skal leve I det.
And so today we want to talk for just a few moments about some things that we believe are keeping us from being as beautiful as God has purposed and designed and enabled us to be.
Så vi har lyst til å snakke litt grann om noe av det som vi tror at Gud har designet og ment at vi skal være og leve I.
Yeah, and we just do. We want to say thank you again, Pastor, for the invitation.
Vi sier takk en gang til Olav for invitasjonen.
And just trusting God in us.
Og at du stoler på Gud I oss.
Yeah, with your congregation.
Og med menigheten din.
We want to just share a few thoughts with you this morning, actually, from the book of Nehemiah.
Vi vil dele noen tanker fra boka til Nehemia.
Yeah, I love it. Nehemiah. First time I heard someone say to open to the book of Nehemiah, I didn't know where that book was in my Bible.
Första gången jag hörde någon sa öppna upp Nehemia så visste jag inte var det var I Bibeln men.
We were in Kenya as missionaries.
Yeah. Vi var I Kenya som missionärer.
We had just arrived on the YWAM base.
Vi hade akkurat kommit till UU-basen där.
Down on the coast.
Nere på kysten.
And the Dutch missionary.
Och det var någon nederländsk missionärer.
He was going to preach from Nehemia.
Och han skulle undervisa från Nehemia.
Yeah. We had to do a little translation there.
So it's good. We love the diversity in the body.
Vi liker at det her mangfoldet I Guds rike. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I love the book of Nehemiah because there's just so much to learn.
Jeg så glad I Nehemia-boka fordi at det så masse vi kan lære derfra.
I've actually heard several messages from this book really having to do more with leadership and leadership principles.
Jeg har hørt ganske mange budskap fra denne boka som handler om lederskapsprinsipper.
But I love the scripture because there's so many applications that you can use scripture for.
Men jeg så glad I Guds ord for det så mange ulike settinger du kan bruke skriftstedene inn I.
Yeah, so really briefly I want to just kind of quickly share a little bit of history and then a little bit of the story.
Jeg skal bare gi dere litt historie og litt fra denne historien.
And I'm not really going to read through the scriptures. I'll just challenge you to go back and read it on your own later.
Jeg kommer ikke til å lese gjennom skriftstedene. Jeg bare oppmuntrer dere til å gå og lese denne historien senere.
But just for some background, Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king.
For å gi dere litt sånn bakgrunn, så var altså Nehemia en, hva var det heter igjen? Han var koppbærer, nei. Ja. Munnskjenk var det heter.
Okay. That's right. He actually was born into slavery.
Han blev født in I slaveskap.
Because he was born to parents that were taken captive.
Fordi han var født av foreldre som var tatt I fangenskap.
So he never really experienced freedom until his adult years when he was actually in this setting.
Så han hade aldrig upplevt frihet för han var vuxen och I denna settingen som vi ska snacka om nu.
But as a cupbearer to the king, he actually had closest access and probably the highest level of trust with the king.
Men som kongens munskänk så hade han en väldigt viktig position och han var väldigt när kungen.
And we know in the story it says that he had friends that came to visit from Jerusalem.
Och så vet vi från historien att det kom någon vänner av Nehemia från Jerusalem på besök.
And so he inquired about the city.
Så han spurte de vännerna sina om byen.
Because even though now he's living in a palace and he's living in a life of luxury.
För även om han lever I ett palats så han lever I lyxus.
This place deep in his heart for his own people and for his home is still very much burning.
Så har han en plats I hjärtat sitt som bränner för folket sitt och för byn sin.
See, this whole devastation that took place years and years ago was under the Babylonian invasion.
Under den babyloniska invasionen så när denna här katastrofen skedde.
And now here at this time he's living in luxury and this city is still in ruin.
Och på detta tidpunkt så lever han I lyxus mens byn framdeles I ruiner.
Now we know actually they have already rebuilt the temple by this time.
På detta tidpunkt så vet vi att templet allerede genuppbygget.
But the walls surrounding the city were still burned and broken down and just in laid in waste.
Men de murene som omringet Jerusalem, omringet byen, de var fremdeles ødelagt og I ruiner.
And in those times culturally a city that was being built really was not complete until the wall was complete.
Og på dette tidspunktet så en by som ikke hadde en komplett bymur var ikke komplett.
Because that wall represented protection.
Fordi at den muren, den representerte beskyttelse.
Security.
Sikkerhet.
And actually the way that it all came together for that community, it was either a source of pride.
Og det var enten en kilde til stolthet.
Or in this case, a real source of shame.
Men I dette tilfellet så var det en kilde til skam.
So we know as the story is coming through, we find out that the wall gets rebuilt in 52 days.
Så vi vet att när vi läser den historien så blir denna muren uppbyggd på igen på 52 dagar.
Which was miraculous.
Som var ett mirakel.
Because by this time those walls had been destroyed and been laying waste for over 100 years.
För att dessa murarna de hade varit ödelagt och de hade ligget I ruiner I över 100 år.
So when we understand and read through some of this story, we see the friend came, shared what was happening.
Så när vi läser historien så vet vi att dessa vänner kom och de delte lite av vad som föregick.
So Nehemiah was made aware of the condition.
Så att Nehemia han förstod vad som egentligen föregick.
Said that it grieved him terribly.
Och han blev så ledsen.
He went into a time of mourning and prayer and even we understand intercession from what he did.
Och han gick in i en tid där han bad, han gick i förbön och han gråt.
So he was greatly distressed.
Så han var väldigt upprörd.
And then we see in chapter 2 he actually was now taking wine to the king.
Och så ser vi att i kapitel 2 så tar han med sig vin in till kungen.
And as he was in the king's presence the king noticed that he was not okay.
Och så när han var samman med kungen så såg kungen att han var leise.
It says the king said, "Why are you so downcast? I can see you're not ill. What's going on?"
Så säger kungen, "Varför är du så upprörd? Jag ser ju att inte du är sjuk. Vad är det som föregår?"
And Nehemiah's response, it says that he was greatly afraid.
Och så står det att Nehemia han var rädd i sin respons.
Because you didn't stand in the presence of the king with a long face.
För att du stod inte i närvaro av kungen och var liksom deprimerad och trist.
So at this point he was fearing for his own life.
Så på detta tidspunkt så fryktade han för livet sitt.
But it says that he stepped past his fear.
Men så står det att han gick över frykten sin.
And he shared, "How can I be of a light, joyful spirit when my homeland and my ancestors are in ruin?"
Och så delte han med kungen, "Hur kan jag vara glad och ha det gott när jag vet att min by och mina förfäders by är i ruiner?"
And the interesting thing is the king simply said, "So what do you want?"
Så säger kungen, "Ja men vad vill du?"
Isn't that interesting?
Är inte det lite intressant?
He was fearing for his life, thinking maybe the king would have his head.
Han fryktade för livet sitt och tänkte att kungen kanske ville ha hodet hans.
He didn't realize the place of great favor he had with the king.
Han förstod inte att han hade favör med kungen.
And the king was just simply waiting for him to ask what he needed.
Och att kungen bara egentligen väntade på att han skulle spöra om det han hade behov för.
It says that he quickly prayed to the Lord God.
Så står det att han raskt bad till Herren sin Gud.
And then he just began to lay out what he thought he needed.
Och så fortalte han kungen det han trodde att han trengte.
So he said, "If I found favor in your sight, I need time to go."
Så säger han till kungen att hvis jag har favör med dig så trenger jag tid så att jag kan dra.
I want to rebuild this wall.
Jag vill genuppbygga denna muren.
In fact, if you could give me letters of authority so I could safely pass through these lands, that would be great.
Faktiskt, hvis du kan ge mig brev så att jag kan tryggt reise tillbaka till Jerusalem genom dessa olika spärringar så hade det varit bra.
Even if you would give me letters so that the man that owns the forest would give me lumber for what I need and also for my own house.
Kanske du till och med kan ge mig ett brev så att han som äger skogen kan ge mig tömmer så att jag kan bygga.
And if you'll give me this much time.
Och hvis du kan ge mig så mycket tid.
Yeah, the king said, "Yeah."
Så säger kungen, ja.
Absolutely.
Det går fint.
But you know, in his own wisdom as a king,
men i sin visdom som konge,
he recognized that actually Nehemiah would need more than what he's asking for.
Så igenkände han att Nehemia trengte faktiskt lite mer än det han bad om.
He didn't give stuff before he asked.
Han gav inte ting för han spurte.
But once he asked,
men när han spurte,
the king even gave more than he asked for.
Så gav kungen han till och med mer än han spurte om.
He said, "The letters won't be enough."
Han sa, de breva vil ikke være nok.
I'm going to send cavalry.
Jeg skal sende med deg kavaleri.
Yeah. I'm going to send captains to go with you.
Militære kapteiner skal gå med deg.
Because you're going to need more protection.
For du kommer til å trenge enda mer beskyttelse.
And security than you know.
Og sikkerhet enn det du tror.
So all he had to do was ask.
Så alt det Nehemia trengte å gjøre var å spørre.
And the resources of the king were made available to
him. Så blev kongens resurser gjort tillgängliga för Nehemia.
He gave him time.
Han gav han tid.
He gave him authority.
Han gav han auktoritet.
He gave him protection.
Han gav han beskyttelse.
He provided all the resources financially and material he would need.
Och han gav han alla resurserna materiellt och finansiellt som han trengte.
So we know he made it to Jerusalem.
Så vi vet att Nehemia kom till Jerusalem.
It says there that he kind of just waited and observed for about 3 days.
Det står att han väntade och observerade i cirka 3 dagar.
And then we read that it says he got up with a few friends at night.
Och så står det att han reste sig samman med några vänner på kvällstid.
And began to survey the wall.
Och så började han att observera och checka ut muren.
And so what he saw firsthand was some of what his friend had described to him.
Och det han då såg, det var något av det samma som vännerna hans hade beskrivit för han.
That there were sections of the wall that were completely destroyed.
Det var sektioner av muren som var helt ödelagt.
Other parts partially destroyed.
Och det var delar av muren som var delvis ödelagt.
The gates were burned.
Portarna var bränt ned.
And as they were going around surveying the wall.
Och mens de gick runt och observerade muren.
It says at one point there was so much rubbish in the way and broken down walls that he couldn't get through on his mount.
Så stod det att på ett tidspunkt så var det så mycket vrakrester och ödelagda delar att han kunde inte komma sig igenom.
So once he recognized the condition.
Så när han igenkände den situation som muren var I.
He knew and he saw that there's no way they could start to rebuild this wall.
Så visste han att det var helt omöjligt att starta och genuppbygga denna muren.
With all the debris in the way.
Med alla dessa vrakresterna som låg I vägen.
So he knew they were going to have to remove anything that would prevent them.
Så han visste att de hade nött till att fjärna allt som kunde hindra dem.
From moving forward in the construction of this wall.
Så att de kunde kunde gå vidare och börja genuppbygga muren.
So this is where we want to take a look here.
Och nu detta här är detta tidspunkt som vi önskar oss att se lite på vad är det som föregår.
There's a great work that's before this body.
I denna menigheten så är det ett fantastiskt arbete som föregår.
And there are areas where maybe there is some leftover rubbish or rubble in the way.
Och så kanske är det någon område där det är någon sån vrakrester som ligger I vägen.
You know, it talks later on how he rallied the people together and it said they had a heart to work.
Och så står det lite senare att han samlade folket och för att jobba och de hade I hjärtat sitt ett önske om att arbeta.
But the work can't really go well unless we clear out what's still in the way of letting us move forward.
Men detta arbete kan inte bli successfullt för vi fjärnar det som de vrakresterna som är I vägen.
As we prayed for today and just we're asking the Lord, Father, what are you doing in Credo?
När vi bad och förberedde oss till idag så bad vi om far, vad är det du gör nu I Credo?
What are you doing in Bergen?
Vad är det du gör I Bergen?
What are you wanting to release?
Vad är det du vill förlösa?
What are you wanting to activate?
Vad är det du vill aktivera?
The Lord just really clearly said I want them to be so healthy relationally.
Och Herren sa till mig, jag vill att de ska vara så sunda I relationerna sina.
I want them each individually to be so right before me.
Och jag vill att som enskilt individer så ska de vara I så rätt stand med mig.
That they create a safe place.
Så att de skapar ett tryggt sted.
To receive the harvest I want to bring them.
Så för att hösten som vill komma ska kunna bli tatt emot.
If we are going to prepare ourselves to receive a harvest.
Hvis vi ska förbereda oss för att ta emot hösten.
For the lost.
Av de förtappade.
They need to come into an environment
så må de komme inn I et fellesskap
where we are living wholeheartedly.
Som vi lever som hele mennesket.
Where we are living biblically.
Som vi, og hvor vi lever etter Guds
where
ord.
Our relationships
våre relasjoner
actually represent the kingdom of heaven here on the earth.
Att våra relationer representerar Guds rike här på jorden.
And what we really felt like that we wanted to just challenge you with today.
Och det vi kände att vi hade lust att uppmuntra er och utmana er med idag
is for us to take a look at maybe some of the rubble.
Att vi skulle se lite samman på kanske några av dessa vrakresterna
hanging around in our hearts.
Som hänger I eller som sitter fast I hjärtan våra.
You know, I think how many of you have been raised in the church?
Hur många av er har vuxit upp I kyrka I menigheten?
How many of you grew up going to church?
Att liksom har vuxit upp I menigheten.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so not a lot of people.
Så inte så många.
You know, how many of you have been a part of the church body for 15 years or more?
Många där har varit en del av
That's good. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that we learn and we understand is the need for how we handle our heart, what we do with our heart.
En av de tingene som vi har lært at vi må se på hva det vi gjør med hjertet vårt. Hvordan håndterer vi det som I hjertet vårt?
We're taught that if we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven.
Vi har lært at hvis vi ikke tilgir, så vil ikke vi bli tilgitt.
We are taught that forgiving one another is a command.
Vi har også blitt lært at det å tilgi hverandre, det et bud.
And that the price that Christ paid for on the cross was for our brokenness. He was to forgive us.
Og når Jesus døde på korset, så var det for vår syndebrutthet og det som ikke var helt I vårt hjerte.
And to reconcile us to the Father.
Og at vi skulle bli forsont med Faderen.
But it was also that we could operate in the ministry of reconciliation and be reconciled to one another.
Men det også for at vi skal kunne operere I forsoning med hverandre og bli forsont med hverandre.
But we today we want to just take a moment and look at forgiveness, what it is and what it isn't.
Vi skal se helt kort på hva tilgivelse, hva er det og hva det ikke.
Because in our own journey and in the people that we work with,
for I vår vandring og de menneskene som vi går med og jobber med,
we believe that people actually haven't done the heart work.
Vi tror at det veldig mange som ikke gjort dette hjertearbeidet.
That is necessary to really get rid of the pain and the rubble in their heart.
Som nødvendig for å bli kvitt de vrakrestene som ligger I hjertene våre.
From the relational woundings that they've experienced.
Fra relasjonelle sår som de har opplevd.
As children.
Som barn.
In marriage,
I ekteskapet,
in friendships,
I vennskap,
with our leaders,
med lederne våre,
in our work situations,
på arbeidsplassen,
that we know we are supposed to forgive,
vi vet at vi skal tilgi,
and so we choose to forgive,
så vi velger å
but
tilgi,
we still carry the pain,
men vi bærer fremdeles smerten,
we're disconnected in those relationships,
vi er ikke påkoblet I disse relasjonene,
and we're not living from a place of strength and wholeness that God always has purposed and provided for us.
Och vi lever inte I den styrken och I den helheten som Gud hade ment att vi skulle leva I.
Yeah, this place of knowing we must forgive is one element.
Det stedet det att veta att vi må tillge, det är ett element.
And we all know we've been taught that we can't wait until we feel like it.
Och vi har också lärt det att vi kan inte vänta till vi føler för att tillge.
Because we may never feel like forgiving.
För att vi kommer aldrig kanske till det stället där vi känner för att tillge.
So we understand it's a command, so I must choose to forgive.
Så vi förstår att detta här är något som vi må göra och vi må välja att tillge.
But when we operate out of only just cold hard choice.
Men när vi opererar utifrån bara ett sånt kallhjärtat valg.
Sometimes like Lorraine said, we don't get to the depth of what we need to make sure it is total forgiveness.
Så blir det sånt som Lorraine sa att någon gånger så kommer vi inte till dybden I det att vi verkligen känner att vi har tillgett.
Which means we stay kind of in a place of choosing to forgive, wanting to forgive, praying for strength to forgive.
Vi på detta stället vi väljer att tillge, vi uttalar att vi tillger och vi ber om styrket att tillge.
But we stay in a place of torment inside.
Men så har vi en kamp som föregår på insidan.
And it means that our relationships are weak, they are fragile.
Och då blir relationerna våra svaga och ja, svaga.
They're not joy-filled, they're not resilient.
De är inte fyllda av glädje och styrka.
And so we want to take just a few minutes to look at what forgiveness is and what it isn't.
Nå skal vi se bare helt kort på hva tilgivelse og hva det ikke.
I remember would have been about 12 years ago now.
For cirka 12 år siden.
We were in a leadership position.
Så var
at a
vi
church.
I lederskap I en menighet.
And I had gone through some difficult situations in our leadership team.
Og I lederskapsteamet vårt så hadde jeg opplevd noen ganske tøffe situasjoner.
Some very hurtful situations.
Jeg hadde blitt såret.
That I never could have anticipated would happen in our leadership team.
Og jeg hadde aldri trodd at dette ville skje I vårt lederskapsteam.
Because leaders are perfect, right?
For ledere, de jo perfekte, sant?
Leaders don't do stupid things.
Ledere, de gjør ikke dumme ting.
Leaders don't make mistakes.
Ledere, de gjør ikke feil.
Leaders don't have weak areas and areas of immaturity in their life.
Ledere har ikke umodne områder I livet sitt eller ja.
And so I was struggling.
Så jeg kjempet med disse tingene.
In my heart feel good about my leaders that I was working with.
Jeg kjempet hjertet mitt med å føle gode ting overfor de lederne som jeg jobbet sammen med.
And honestly, it didn't matter what I did.
Og uansett, det spilte ingen rolle hva jeg gjorde.
It felt like there was still this dysfunction in the relationship.
Det føltes fremdeles ut som det var en sånn noe som ikke fungerte I denne relasjonen.
And so I had it was just I had gotten a sozo some inner healing.
Jeg hadde fått litt indre helbredelse.
I'd done some fasting.
Jeg hadde fasta.
I had been generous in giving to these leaders.
Jeg hadde vært generøs, jeg hadde gitt til disse lederne.
But I still was feeling the confusion and the pain and the distress of this relationship not being what God designed it to be.
Men jeg følte fremdeles på stresset og uroen og at denne relasjonen ikke var sånn som Gud hadde ment at den skulle være.
And I woke up one morning at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Og så en morgen så våkna jeg klokka 4.
To these words.
Og så hørte jeg dette.
Lorraine. Excusing someone's behavior.
Å unnskylde noens oppførsel.
Is not the same as forgiving.
Ikke det samme som å tilgi.
Their behavior.
Og tilgi oppførselen deres.
And the pain that you feel.
Og den smerten som du føler.
From what has happened.
Av det som har skjedd.
And I realized I must have been having a dream.
Jeg tror kanskje at jeg hadde hatt en drøm.
And those were the final words that the Lord was leaving with me.
Og kanskje det var de siste ordene som Herren ville at jeg skulle få tak I fra den drømmen.
So I got out of bed and I went into my little room, sat down with my Bible and a notebook.
Jeg sto opp og så gikk jeg til rommet mitt, et annet rom, og så begynte jeg eller tok jeg fram notatboka mi og Bibelen min.
And I began to write the two or three names that I knew I was really struggling in relationship with.
Så skrev jeg ned de navnene med de personer som jeg virkelig kjempet I relasjonen til.
And I just heard the Lord say to me, I want you to write down.
Og så følte jeg at Herren sa til meg at jeg vil at du skal skrive ned.
What has happened that has been hurtful to you?
Hva det som har skjedd som har vært smertefullt for deg?
How do you feel?
Hvordan føler du det?
So I began to list the two or three things that had taken place that were so hurtful.
Så begynte jeg å skrive ned de to tre tingene som hadde vært så smertefulle for meg.
And the effects of those things.
Og effekten av disse tingene.
You see the effects of what had happened to me.
Effekten av dette som hadde skjedd med meg.
Were creating for me almost a type of prison that I was living in.
Det skapte nesten en sånn fengsel som jeg levde inne I.
I'd lost my joy.
Jeg hadde mistet gleden min.
I'd lost my sense of security.
Jeg hadde mistet den følelsen av sikkerhet og trygghet.
I'd lost my freedom in how I was relating.
Jeg hadde også mistet friheten I hvordan jeg forholdt meg til andre mennesker.
I was becoming so self-conscious.
Og jeg var så opptatt av meg selv og hvordan jeg min adferd var.
That I was not living in joy and peace the way I knew I had permission to live.
Så jeg levde ikke I glede og I fred sånn som jeg visste at jeg hadde tillatelse til å gjøre.
And so I began to list those things.
Så jeg begynte å skrive ned disse tingene.
And feel the pain. Look at the loss that I had experienced as a result of what had happened.
Så jeg begynte å føle på denne smerten og se på hva det var hadde mistet som et resultat av dette som hadde skjedd.
And so the first thing I want to say is that forgiving someone
det første jeg vil si at å tilgi noen
is not excusing what they have done.
Ikke å unnskylde det de har gjort.
Sometimes we literally just excuse what someone has done by saying we know they didn't mean to hurt us.
Noen ganger så bare unnskylder vi det folk har gjort for å si at ja, men jeg vet at de mente ikke å såre meg.
I know they didn't intend to hurt me.
Det var ikke det de hadde tenkt at de skulle såre meg.
But you are still hurt.
Men du fremdeles såret.
And actually you need to validate that hurt and that pain.
Og du må gjenkjenne og godta den smerten.
Take it before the Lord honestly.
Og ta den ærlig framfor Herren.
And actually say, Father, I forgive them.
Og så må du si, Far, jeg tilgir.
For these words they spoke to me.
For disse orda de snakket og talte til meg.
These actions they took towards me.
Disse handlingene de gjorde overfor meg.
And actually let them off the hook.
Og så må du på en måte bare ta de av den der kroken.
Working through it in your mind saying they didn't mean to do that to me.
Hvis du sier I tanken din at ja men de mente ikke å gjøre dette her til meg.
Is not forgiving them.
Det ikke å tilgi de.
Justifying someone's behavior.
Det å forsvare oppførselen til noen.
Is not forgiving them.
Det ikke å tilgi de.
If you've been deeply wounded, if you've been deeply hurt as a child,
hvis du har blitt såret på dypt område I livet ditt som barn,
in your marriage,
I ekteskapet ditt,
where you've suffered great betrayal,
hvor du har opplevd å bli forrådt,
sometimes we justify what happened to us.
Noen ganger så på en måte forsvarer vi det som har skjedd med oss.
By saying, well, they were broken.
Og så sier vi at ja, men de var på et brutt sted I sitt liv.
They were deeply wounded.
De hadde dype sår.
So of course now I understand why they did to me what they did.
Så nå kan jeg jo forstå hvorfor de gjorde det de gjorde mot meg.
And so we actually justify their behavior.
Så vi forklarer og vi forsvarer oppførselen deres.
But we actually have to be willing to forgive
men
that behavior.
Men vi må være villige til å tilgi den oppførselen.
Sometimes we just pretend we're not hurt.
Noen ganger så later vi som at ikke vi såret.
We pretend it really was no big deal.
Vi bare later som at ja, men det var ikke så veldig viktig.
Oh, it's no big deal.
Nei, det går fint, det ikke så
viktig. I'm a big person, I can get over it.
Voksen,
no
jeg kan håndtere det, det ikke så farlig.
And so we just kind of go like this and try to walk away from that situation.
Så vi prøver bare å legge det bak oss, og så gå videre vekk fra den situasjonen.
That was deeply hurting.
Som virkelig smertet oss.
Deeply embarrassing.
Og det var kanskje noe som gjorde
deeply
oss flaue.
Shameful.
Vi ble skamfulle.
Yesterday at the marriage retreat, how many of you were there?
Det var noen av dere som var på ekteparvikten I går.
Oh, bunch of you. Something happened during the day between Steve and I.
Det var noe som skjedde mellom Steve og meg I løpet av dagen I går.
And one of us, our feelings were hurt.
Og for en av oss så var følelsene såret.
And we behaved in a way that was not okay, and it offended the other person.
Og så I den ene av oss oppførte oss på en måte som støttet den andre.
And we had a choice.
Og så hadde vi et valg.
We could either go, oh, it's not a big deal. He's human. She's human.
Vi kunne bare, nei, det ikke så viktig. Det ikke noe big deal. Han
pretend
menneske,
like it's not
menneske.
There.
Kan bare late som ikke der.
And try to press on through the day.
Og så kunne vi fortsette bare presse oss
oh,
gjennom dagen.
We can acknowledge, no, actually, our hearts are not okay.
Men så faktum det at hjertene våre
and
var ikke okay.
Here we are trying to do a marriage seminar.
Og så vi her, og så skal vi undervise på et ekteparseminar.
And we're not okay.
Og så ikke vi okay.
So when they were doing an exercise.
Så mens de som var der gjorde en sånn øvelse.
We sat down on the couch.
Så satt vi oss ned på sofaen.
And we had to take care of our hearts.
Og så måtte vi fikse hjertene våre.
We had to not pretend it wasn't there and just go through the day.
Vi kunne ikke bare late som ikke det var der og så bare fortsette gjennom dagen.
And then in the teaching.
Og så I undervisningen.
Just so happened where we were in the teaching.
Så akkurat på det tidspunktet eller der vi var I undervisningen.
On reconciliation.
Så snakket vi om det å bli gjenforent. Altså forent med hverandre.
We used our situation.
Så brukte vi den her situasjonen som hadde skjedd mellom
before
oss.
The class.
Foran de andre som var der.
We dialogued using the communication tools we were teaching.
Så hadde vi en dialog hvor vi brukte disse verktøyene som vi underviste om.
And walked through the five steps of reconciliation as a model.
Og så gikk vi gjennom den her femtrinnsmodellen av å bli gjenforent, altså forent med hverandre.
You know, this is actually pretty important because we, at one level, we're talking about things that have happened in the past.
Det her veldig viktige ting, for på ett nivå så snakker vi om ting som skjedd I fortiden.
There was devastation in the wall. Nehemiah saw it had to be cleaned up before we could move forward.
Muren hade blivit ödelagd och Nehemia så att detta måste han fixa för de kunde gå vidare.
But in chapter 4 verse 10.
Men I kapitel 4 vers 10.
After they had already reconnected the wall even though it wasn't at its full height yet.
Efter att de hade byggt hela muren den var inte lika hög som den skulle bli ända.
It says that one group came out and said we're so frustrated.
Så kom det en grupp och sa att vi är så frustrerade.
We can't keep building the wall. There's so much rubbish again.
Vi kan inte fortsätta bygga muren för nu är det så mycket som vrakrester igen.
See, even in the course of building and everyday life, stuff happens.
Så selv när man håller på att bygga något I vardagen så sker det ting.
So you can't let it build up. You have to take care of it as it's happening so that you don't have a big pile of rubbish that you have to deal with again.
Så du kan ikke la det bare bygge seg opp. Du må gjøre noe med det der og da sånn at ikke det blir en stor haug av vrakrester.
Forgiveness is not pretending it's not there.
Så tilgivelse ikke å late som at ikke det finnes.
Really, forgiveness.
Tilgivelse.
Is giving up my right to get even.
Yeah.
Det å gi opp min rett til å ta igjen.
It's giving up my right for justice.
Det gir opp min, jeg gir opp min rett til rettferdighet.
It's giving up my need to hold on to anger or guilt or self-protection.
Jeg gir opp rettigheten min til å holde fast på sinne og at jeg skal bli rettferdiggjort.
Forgiveness is actually really even me taking responsibility for what's happening in my heart and how I manage it.
Tilgivelse er faktisk at jeg tar ansvar for det som skjer I mitt hjerte og hvordan jeg håndterer det.
Forgiveness is really about acknowledging the pains there.
Tilgivelse å gjenkjenne at smerten der.
And choosing to let it go.
Og velge å gi slipp.
Choosing to let that person off my hook.
Velge å slippe den andre personen av det som holder den fast til meg.
And entrust them to God.
Og stole på at Gud tar vare på dem.
And when we practice keeping our heart in a good place with one another.
Och när vi övar oss på att ha hjärtena våra på ett gott sted I förhåll till varandra.
We create health and life.
Så skapar
this relationship.
Så skapar vi sundhet och liv I dessa relationerna.
We learn how to meet face to face and work through those things that have created a conflict or disappointment.
Vi lär oss att möta ansikte till ansikte och jobba oss igenom någon av dessa tingen som har skapat konflikter.
Sometimes forgiving is just between you and God and the Lord saying, I want you to just bring this to me and release it and forgive them.
Någon gånger så kan du ta detta här bara mellan dig och Gud, hvor Gud bara lar dig, alltså han du ber att han ska hjälpa dig till I och han säger att det okej att du kan gå vidare.
Sometimes in that process, he'll share with us that we need to now go to that individual.
Någon gång I den processen så vill Gud säga att du måste gå till den personen.
But really, it just starts with you and the Lord.
Men det starter med detta som föregår mellan dig och Herren.
And just like Nehemiah had favor with the king.
Och akkurat sånn som Nehemiah hade favör med kungen.
And was given everything and more that he needed.
Och han blev gett allt. Och mer än det han trängte.
To repair what was broken.
För att reparera det som var ödelagt.
The Lord wants you to know.
Så vill Herren att du ska
veta. That you have access to everything you need.
Yeah. Att du har tillgång till allt du tränger.
For the healing and the restoration.
För helbredelsen och och bli restaurerad.
Of relationships.
Och att relationerna ska
bli hela. In your marriage.
I äktenskapet.
In your family.
I familjen din.
With one another.
Med varandra.
Maybe with a leader here in the church.
Kanske med en ledare I menigheten.
With somebody that you work with.
Eller någon du jobbar med.
God's heart is that we would live from a place of absolute joy and peace.
Guds hjärta att vi ska leva på ett ställe I absolut glädje och fred.
Yeah, in a place of thriving and not just surviving.
Ett sted hvor vi blomstrer og ikke bare overlever.
This morning, as we were just praying for the service.
Når vi ba I dag tidlig for denne gudstjenesten.
I was just being quiet and asking the Holy Spirit to just show us what things, you know, might be in the way.
Så var vi stille og så ba vi Herren om å vise oss om det var noen ting som han kunne fortelle oss som kanskje lå I veien.
And I had a quick picture of someone who had just exposed their heart.
Så fick jag ett bilde av en person som kanske hade öppnat upp hjärtat sitt.
And in this particular relationship it looked like that their heart was taken out, thrown on the floor and just stepped on.
Och I denna här relationen så virkade det som att hjärtat var på något sätt bara tagit ut och kastat på golvet och trampat på.
And after some time what I saw was that individual picking the heart up, putting it in a metal box and locking it up and putting it on a shelf.
Och så såg jag att denna personen tog en sån metallbox, plockade upp hjärtat sitt och la det I boxen och satte det på en hylla.
And now that person has been just living.
Och den här personen har nu bara
day by day,
dag efter dag,
keeping their heart locked away.
Hatt hjärtat sitt låst veck I en sån metallbox,
which leaves them in a place of not being able to have a rich life relationally with other people.
Som gör att de lever nu på ett ställe där de kan ha ett rikt liv samman med alla med andra människor.
But it also affects their ability to have a heart connection with the Lord.
Men det har också en effekt på hjärtekontakten med Herren.
He doesn't want you to be afraid.
Han vill inte att du ska vara rädd.
Nehemiah was afraid, but he stepped past that and decided to just trust the king.
Nehemiah var rädd, men han bestämde sig för att gå över den frykten och ha en relation, valde att ha en relation med kungen.
So we want to just ask you a question this morning.
Så vill jag spöra dig ett spörsmål
nu. Invite you into a place of healing with the Father.
Å komme inn I den ett sted med helbredelse sammen med Herren.
Yeah, what feels unresolved?
Hva det som du går og kjenner på som ikke ferdig, ikke oppgjort
in your heart?
I hjertet ditt.
So we felt like the Lord said, what feels unresolved in your heart?
Hva det som føles uoppgjort I hjertet ditt?
In relationship to some other person.
I relasjoner til andre mennesker.
Where do you have a relational disconnect?
Hvor det du har en sånn relasjonell disconnect?
What relationship?
Hvilke relationer?
Are you protecting yourself from?
Beskytter du deg selv fra?
What place of friendship?
Det noen vennskap?
And fellowship?
Fellesskap?
Are you really missing?
Savner du? Eller går du glipp av?
Because you're pretending. Something's not there.
Fordi at du later som at ikke det noe der som ødelegger.
But you're not being open.
Men du ikke åpen.
You're not being honest.
Du ikke ærlig.
You're not being vulnerable.
Du ikke sårbar.
I just really feel like today the Father wants to give you the ability.
Jeg føler at far vil gi deg evnen.
In this place of his love, it's like his love creates a safe space, a safe place.
Hans kjærlighet skaper et trygt sted her nå.
For you to be fully known.
Sånn at du kan bli fullt kjent for den du
Where you're honest before him.
Hvor du kan være ærlig med han.
And where you give him permission.
Og hvor du gir han tillatelse.
To help you mend.
For å hjelpe deg sånn at du kan fikse
that relational disconnect.
Den relasjonelle avstengtheten eller disconnecten som du har.
To rebuild the part of the wall of your heart that is broken down and destroyed.
Du kan gjenoppbygge den delen av hjertet ditt som blitt brutt ned eller ødelagt.
Maybe we could just ask you to stand with us.
Kan dere stå sammen med oss?
And I want to just invite the ministry team to come down front to be available for praying with people.
Hvis veilederne og bønneteamet kan komme og være tilgjengelige for folk.
And maybe what we could do is just have our worship leader here just go back into that song. And if you know.
Og så kan lovsangslederen gå tilbake til den samme sangen. Og hvis du vet.
That you've got a breach or something that is preventing you from moving on and moving forward.
At du noe som hindrer deg for å gå videre.
Living in a place relationally that you're thriving, not just surviving.
At du som hindrer deg fra å leve på et sted hvor du blomstrer og ikke bare overlever.
Then we want to invite you to come and just spend some time in prayer here with the ministry team.
Så vil vi invitere deg til å komme fram og så tilbringe litt tid I bønn sammen med veilederteamet.
Yeah. If the team could just go ahead and come on down and
kan bare komme
be down
fram
around the front.
Som veiledere.
Yeah.
Og forbedre.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Could even be that as we were talking today, you realize that there's been a place in your heart that has been so wounded and so broken a long time ago, and you've gotten
Shorter
far
did.
Enough away from it.
Kanskje mens vi snakket I dag, så kjente du på det at kanskje for lenge, lenge siden, så var det et område som du ble så såret på, som hindret deg I å leve fullt ut alle disse årene.
But today the Lord said, I want to heal that completely.
Yeah.
Men I dag sier Herren at jeg vil helbrede det fullstendig.
We just want to invite you to receive the Father's love and move into a place of being prayed for today.
Vi vil invitere deg til å komme og bli omkranset av Guds kjærlighet mot hans kjærlighet og bli helbredet I dag.